Ezekiel connected them dry bones. Ezekiel connected them dry bones. Ezekiel connected them dry bones. Now hear
touch the bone of the Lord.
Well, your toe bone connected to
what kind of bones you think God's got? Welcome to the Boney Island Whitefish. My name is Andrew. Oh. I'm here to talk to you about Bones, the one, the only season of the TV show Bones that Hart, Hanson, Mady woke up out of a fever dream covered in a deep sweat, his sheets soaked through, and he said, I'm going to start with season six. Railing lines of cocaine off the bedside table, 3 a.m. I'm going to start with season six. Immediately calling all the TV executives that he knows. I got this crazy idea. Forensic anthropology, the FBI, also is starting with season six. Riley, how you doing?
Oh, can I tell you how I'm doing is I just watched the most fantastic episode of Bones I have ever seen.
Oh, it feels good, doesn't it? What a cultural touchstone this thing is.
Ripped, absolutely ripped from the headlines of major cultural... Law and Order, right? Law and Order, here's the thing. A lesser police procedural like Law and Order, yes, they'll rip from the headlines, but they'll... rip from the headlines of like news and stuff. Only Bones would rip from the headlines of reality television of the late 2000s.
TV show.
And of course, we are joined once again by Kill James Bond's Devin.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. This has been a great episode of Bones. I'm all about this.
We're all slathered in coconut tanning oil.
I want to here's the thing. We have to do the world's fastest breakfast update because we have so much to get through. Because Devin, last time they came on.
Oh, Christ.
They sourced some archive of our own Bones fic. And we wanted to talk about that, but then we have to talk about what I consider to be the season six, only season of Bones, magnum opus, which is essentially the episode of Bones that references Jersey Shore.
It's really good.
My eyes were peeled to see if there were any actual cast members of the Jersey Shore in this, but we didn't go that far. Ripped from the headlines, but not from reality, you know?
Well, yes.
It's so good. Whenever they run out of ideas, they're like, we're going to do a sub-community episode. We're going to do, like, what if there was a murder in sort of, like, I don't know, the extreme knitting community or something. And this one is the Jersey Shore. It's just, it's perfect.
If they did a Bones revival, first episode is taking place in an escape room.
Oh, my God, for real.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And there's got to be an escape room episode. Did it go long enough?
I'm already picturing... the dialogue between Booth and Bones when they like go to the escape room, and Bones is like, well, logically they could simply just not go into the escape room and then they'd be finished the task. It doesn't make any sense. And Booth would be like, something like, come on, Bones, people like to solve a little puzzle. And she's like, it's not even much of a puzzle. You can clearly see that the key is hidden behind the painting. And then the group of people that were in the escape room would be like, oh
yeah, yeah, come on.
Right. See,
I find it highly illogical that people would pay to be imprisoned, considering how hard some of our suspects try to evade capture.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's a good.
Sometimes get the bone site.
But before Bones, before
I was
going
to say, but before
fine.
That, I just wanted to say both Andrew and I are drift compatible with Hart Hanson. Sorry, please go on.
It's time for a breakfast update.
All right, I'm going to say mine really fast like M&M because we got to go. I had coffee. I had it in the purple mug. I had the normal overnight oats. I had my normal eggs. I slammed all of it down.
You said you were
going to
switch it up.
I woke up and I sort of semi-forgot that we were doing this morning. So I was like, I need to have the normal breakfast so fast.
You're making promises to the Bones community that you aren't keeping. There's a lot of whitefish out there thinking, maybe it's not going to be the gruel this time. And it's the gruel again.
It's the gruel.
It's the gruel again.
Once again, it was the gruel. Okay.
Okay. Groundhog Day is all gruel.
You did say you were going to give us an update on how you make the coffee. You said you got a new technique.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. So,
come on.
Okay. Okay. All right. Hey, pretty good. I have a Melita electric pour over system because I like pour over. Okay. Right, that's my favorite. It's pour over, but and like where it does like the wetting the grounds evenly, it sort of pours in a circle. Andrew's in Australia, he knows. And so it's got an integrated grinder and water tank, so like it's all one thing that does exactly the right grind that I want for an Ethiopian bean when I can find it. And then slot that into the little thing, put the carafe in. The carafe is auto heated. And then it just simply does a pour over, and then it can pour over for you while you prepare the rest of your breakfast. I love it. I'm here promoting the Melita electric pour over system. It's great.
We are not sponsored by the Melita Corporation.
We are willing to be sponsored by the Melita Corporation. I'm very open to it. I'm willing to be sponsored by Pact Coffee, the mail order coffee company that I use. I am for sale for products that I already enjoy.
I had two pieces of sourdough toast from a loaf of sourdough that my wife baked fresh a day or two ago with peanut butter. And here's my confession. I like the white trash peanut butter. I don't need the health food store stuff. I don't need to be in there mixing it up. I'll take an easy spread full of some kind of hydrogenated fats and vegetable oils.
No, I get it.
Look, I'll take them both. I made like a Malaysian satay curry thing the other week that had like peanut butter in it.
Oh, nice.
Except I absolutely found myself saying, I bet this would be better with a superior peanut butter. Because it was like, use good peanut butter or spread you had it. Derisively calling it spread. shout out to the greatest Australian recipe website, Recipe Tin Eats.
Hell yeah. Love Recipe Tin.
Recipe Tin's Australian?
Yeah.
I've been using Recipe Tin without knowing it's Australian.
All the ingredients are all very centered around what you can get in Australian grocery stores and like Asian specialty stores in Australia. So this was like one of Nagi's classic curry type things you can make, but like with pretty generic ingredients and spices as opposed to needing anything complicated. But I was like, if I had some better peanut butter, I think that would have popped off even more.
Yeah.
So I just had my regular style of peanut butter. I had another double shot flat white in my Le Creuset orange cup out of our Nespresso system, our Nespresso Virtuo system, which like we also enjoy a lot. My wife used to be a barista in coffee shops and stuff like that, and there's been a few times where I've said maybe I'd get in the kind of coffee machine at home, you know, where you're doing the grinder and having a shot and everything. And she was like, yeah, but there's so many things that can go wrong between starting and finishing a cup of coffee that makes it just not a good cup of coffee. You know, you don't tamp the thing right. You get the temperature wrong. You burn the milk a little bit, like whatever. It's a whole lot of stuff involved in making yourself one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Where like just a bit of it could go wrong and you fuck up your shot or whatever.
And a lot of cleaning. Yeah.
A lot of cleaning.
Yeah. And so as a person who has worked on a coffee machine for years, she is of the opinion that the superiority of the Nespresso thing is the convenience of getting your vacuum sealed stuff. And while it's not the best cup of coffee that you're getting in the world, it does produce an extremely reliable shot or long black or whatever. You know what you're getting every time. But I have also got the cold brew set up back out.
Oh, lovely.
We're into the hot months now. We've got the OXO Good Grips cold brew thing, which I believe Tom Walker from Big Soft Titty put me onto. Mm-hmm. That was his setup, and I have adopted it. And God, what a wonderful, affordable piece of coffee technology. You know, go out and get yourself some supernatural beans.
Oh, yeah.
Get them in there. Ooh.
Oh.
Nice.
Excellent. I have a new segment I wanted to actually start as well.
We haven't heard about Devin's breakfast yet. Hold on.
Breakfast.
Well, it's because it's an addendum to my breakfast update.
Right now. This is unbelievable.
I would never spit in your breakfast. Make you dinner, porridge. But I would never spit in your breakfast.
Number one. I'm actually glad to be here for the second week in a row because it lets me reply to some questions that I got about my breakfast in the comments. So
to all the haters, people care about this, okay?
Yeah.
They exactly. want it.
It was porridge, right? Classic porridge. And they were going, milk or water? But let me tell you, life is too fucking short.
Absolutely.
It's got to be milk. It's got to be milk.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Although I will confess to doing it microwave rather than like on the stovetop or whatever.
That's legal.
It works.
It's the morning. Like, stovetop on the weekend. How about that? We can all agree.
Okay. All right.
Lazy Sunday. Take your time. Do it on the stovetop. You know, put a little love into it. First thing in the morning on a weekday.
More than anything.
Yeah.
And to drink and to pair with my... I've got this is tea resin, which is this thing that they do out in like Yunnan, where they just take like fucking
hot
gallons
knife.
And gallons of tea and just boil it down to like a thick paste. And I got a little tiny bit of it, and I put it in my 750 ml water bottle here.
You got that tea?
And that
tincture?
Lets it down to just the right amount to me.
A tincture of tea.
Just the right thickness. I got a tincture.
Okay.
Someone brewed this
tea in China, and now I'm rehydrating it.
China
expand
so
that
great.
Tea.
China fucking rocks.
It's pretty good. That's cool. My entire breakfast update. So yeah. Riley, if you have your new segment, yeah. More than willing
your
to
new segment,
onto it.
Which is what wines have been delivered recently?
Oh. Hell yeah!
It's at six by far Chardonnays, six Torbreck. I believe it's called the Stedding. So that's a South Australian Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre blend. And then some Lebanese wines that I'm going to be splitting with my friend next weekend. And we're going to do a little vertical of the same winery from different years from Lebanon. And I'm very excited.
Lovely.
Thank you. Take out the wine section, please. I don't need more people getting angry. Okay. That's just for us. Okay. All right. What a series of updates about our breakfasts. I feel like I know more about my friends, Devin and Andrew now.
That's right.
Shall we take a detour down fan fiction lane?
Absolutely. I will just say about your comments on people's feelings about breakfast update that all of the Bunta Vista listeners are very nice and they just accept this content with open arms. No one's getting mad about it. No one's arcing up.
Chiller,
I don't know what's going on,
listeners,
over on your Discord, but on the Buddhist one, everyone's kind of lounging back and just letting the content wash over them in the spirit with which it is offered, you know?
Which is just, here's whatever's on our mind.
And some bit about a show, sometimes.
There's another hour of the people you know talking. Like, yeah, hi.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
So, I went
hour
on to
850 of this friend talking. Yeah,
good enough. It's good. It's all fun. Whereas the TF listeners like howling and rattling the cage bars, being like, "No, I don't care.
Stop talking
I
about.
Don't want to know
breakfast.
About this. Fuck them. So I went on to Archive of Our Own, the Bones category. You'll be excited to hear that there are no less than 2,918 works of fan fiction in the Bones category.
Okay.
The most recent of which was uploaded today, so this is an active community. They're going hard right now.
Like fresh Actually, baked the most, bread.
The three most recent ones are all today, so it is very active. Most common / fic relationships, obviously, is your canon ones. You've got Booth and Brennan as your most popular pick. And you got Hodgins and Montenegro, which, like, fine.
Well, if I can just say, you don't need to ship the characters that are already shipped in the show. The show ships
You're wasting
them.
Your time.
Yeah, they're shipped.
They come pre-shipped. That's fine.
Shipping's included.
We can ship it for you wholesale, you know?
Sorry, this is actually a fresh discovery for me. The third most popular pairing here, the most popular non-canon one, is Cam and Aristu. Aristu, who we won't have met this season, so ever.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah,
he's a character that has quite a lot of psychology about him. I think you'll agree. Brennan and Montenegro, obviously.
Okay.
Obviously. There's this guy called Zach Addy. I don't know if we've come across him. I think he's like an early season guy. But the community are putting him with everyone. It's him and Hodgins. Oh. It's him and Booth. It's him and Spencer.
You know who Zach Addy looks a little bit like? Zach Addy looks like this show's answer to Matthew Gray Goobler, to Matthew Green Goblin from Criminal Minds.
Matthew Green Goblin.
Oh, a little bit. Look at this twink.
Look at that. Look at that Tony Stoneham looking motherfucker. If only he was ever on the show Bones. Unfortunately, he was not.
Yeah, no, because of course, as stated, we skipped straight to season six. Mm-hmm. Woke up one morning and just went for six. I'll just give you a little breakdown of the ratings here. Mm-hmm. For mature fan fictions, we got 400. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something interesting, actually. For you, just sort of like in a standard sense, your most common character is obviously Seeley Booth. People aren't writing about Brennan anywhere near as much. He's like down by 50. It's actually not even that close.
Huh.
But when you go to mature as the rating, then Brennan is on top.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But if you go to explicit, then it's Booth again.
Oh, so wait, past, people, past interesting... mature. We're sailing past mature and into explicit.
Yeah, there's even... Yeah, there's even further, apparently. It gets worse.
Turn on the wet toggle.
I gotta tell you, when you go to explicit, Lance Sweets pops right up the scoreboard.
But only in the fedora from the start of this season. Lance Sweets, fedora, little goatee.
Yeah, playing elevator music.
That's the only way I'll let him in.
I'm not ashamed to say that I no call, no show to my own D&D session so I could read more Bones fanfic. And in doing so, I did come across a fanfiction about Lance Sweets, so it was just POV, him eating your pussy. And like, he was very attentive, certainly.
Well, it was a long fiction. He understands psychiatry.
But also, there wasn't a ton that was specific to Lance Sweets. It was kind of just POV of your pussy getting eaten, and every so often it was like, and he's Lance Sweets, by the way.
He looks up and he is Lance Sweets.
Remind yourself that he is Lance Sweets. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Ah. Ah. Whoa.
Wow, you're really doing psychology on my pussy.
Yes. Oh, God. It's a lot of also crossovers with Criminal Minds or Harry Potter.
A lot of crossover. Yeah. A lot of crossover with Harry Potter is real. Like, that's actually, I think, one of the most common fandoms to cross it over with.
Can you see any examples there of a Bones character with someone from another franchise or another media property? Just to give me an example.
Yeah, so
I
look
at what the most common fandom is. Criminal Minds is the most common. Super from Harry Potter. Classic.
Oh. I like Criminal Minds being number one, though. That really says something about the person both watching these shows and writing this content.
Elliot Stabler from Criminal Minds, Law and Order, and then Temperance Brennan from Bones going on a date. Pretty good.
Bucky on.
Pretty good.
It's AO3. It's all the same. It's all the same. We've got a really wonderful episode of Bones to get to.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to talk about the episode of Bones.
We got to talk about this episode of Bones because this episode of Bones, number one, here's the thing. They get right fucking to it. There is very little pissing about with like B plots. There's barely a B plot in this. There's like all A plot. The B plot is just like, what moving in gift should Hannah get Booth? And
the B plot remains when will Bones and Hannah break up, right?
Yes, yes.
Nobody, Bones and Hannah. Nobody, sorry, you've been on AO3 a little bit too much, my friend.
Sorry.
Hell yeah, let's look at that. Hold on.
Nobody in the world, even at the time of airing, was watching this and saying, I'm glad Booth found love, and he's done now. You know?
Yeah.
They're going to be happy together forever. No one believes that.
What a twist if Hart Hansen was like, actually, this is a show about how sometimes workplace romances don't blossom.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Learn to be friends. Turning to his producing partner. You just got to learn to be friends and be happy with it. You know?
What? You think Hart Hansen's trying to send a message to his own coworkers to stop getting in relationships? Sometimes
everybody's flirting with Hart Hansen at work. Okay.
I know everybody wants a little heart, but
I mean, with a name like Hart Hansen, you got to assume he's hot, right?
I don't assume that at all.
Okay.
Oh, have you ever seen a picture of Hart Hansen?
I haven't, Hart actually. Hansen, I'm looking into it now.
I'm looking at it right now. I was wrong. He's I was imagining hot, no. such a different guy. I was imagining such a different person. I was imagining, like, someone who looks a bit more like David Boreanaz, to be honest. But no, Hart Hansen
this is just a totally standard-looking bloke. This is one of the most normal guys ever. Like, I can't even describe him.
I will say, just in terms of physiognomy, he looks more British than American to me.
I was going to say he looks Australian.
I agree.
To me,
he looks
Australian.
More of the Antipodean characteristics.
Like, to me, he looks like...
Australian around the cheeks, maybe, but...
He looks like a Gold Coast city councillor that wants to introduce the death penalty for dangerous driving. That to me, that's what his physiognomy is local councillor in Queensland.
I'm trying to figure out who he reminds me of. You know what? It's maybe looks like a bit of a cross between like Ian Holm and Jonathan Pryce. Like that kind of
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And like there's something in his face that's making me think of those guys. But I don't immediately want to fuck him in the office. That's not the first thing that I get from this dude.
So we're thinking maybe because we all know what Hart Hansen really wrote, which is office workplaces do work out. Maybe yes. he was trying to send some messages to like his own production coworkers, like, hey, yes.
you should some, be flirting
it's
with
okay.
me more.
It's
turning
okay
to his
at the
executive
Jeffersonian.
Assistant. Sometimes yeah. it does make sense to fuck someone from work. Okay, Cheryl? Sometimes it works out really well. Don't know until you try, Cheryl. Yeah.
What if we were Booth and Bones?
What if we were
Boons? What if we booned?
What if we booed down?
Boom, right here in the office.
Oh, he's done so much as well. He was the executive producer on Judging Amy, 83 fabulous episodes of Judging Amy. He was also a consulting producer on 7 episodes of Joan of Arcadia.
My wife and kids have been watching all of the Gilmore Girls. I think it's just Gilmore Girls. I don't think it's the Gilmore Girls now that I say it out loud. Mm-hmm. They've been watching all of Gilmore Girls, the girls from Gilmore. And like, it's so of a piece with this kind of TV, like this era of TV, you know, like long-running major network broadcast TV, primetime kind of stuff. And yeah. I keep getting exposed to little patches of it. And the things that really stand out to me are... that everybody is written like they're saying something funny, but they're all just being rude. Mm-hmm. It's like Quentin Tarantino-y in the sense that it's all written in the one person's voice. Amy Paladino? Is that her name? The creator of this show. All of it is just them all being like very rude to each other. And my kids and my wife sit there and watch it and they seemingly enjoy it, but no one ever laughs. And I'm like, it's meant to be a comedy, right? And they all go, yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Just sitting there watching it in like silence.
Yeah, that's that is kind of like, what they do.
Okay. Reverent silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't quite figure it out. I'm just like, so it's a show with no likable characters on it, and everyone's just kind of rude, and none of the jokes make you laugh.
Yeah. You're
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Okay.
And they made like 9 seasons of it, you know, or whatever, however much of it they made. A million wonderful episodes of Gilmore Girls. This episode, though.
Yes.
2007. Wow.
Yeah.
Starting with 2000, God, that's crazy. So you got such a time capsule.
But you got overlap. You got overlap with this show.
You got overlap. It finished before the season we're talking about now, but yeah, there's bones overlap. There's overlap.
Oh, what a time when you could just write shows like that and make so many millions of dollars in advertising money. Before, remember when Google just broke advertising and it didn't work anymore?
Bones just couldn't exist like this anymore.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
This episode of the show Bones, a Hart Hansen classic. I want to start with a line from the very beginning of the episode where we're introduced to
is it the same
another,
thing I've written down?
Maybe. So this is one of the Guidos talking to Bones and Booth, and it's the line I've written down is, "They call him Terror. He works the door at Club Elegante."
Hell yeah!
No, the I think I actually wrote down the very first line of dialogue from the entire episode, which is a man on the beach, I assume on Jersey Shore, with a metal detector. And he's doing some metal detecting, and his metal detector makes a noise, and then he scrabbles around in the sand, and he pulls up a coin, and then he says, "Oh yeah, that's the stuff." And puts it in his pocket.
"Oh yeah, that's the stuff."
I immediately am picturing the Bones writer's room saying, "Now, these people who are into metal detection, what kind of stuff do you think they say when they find something good?"
Yeah, when they detect some metal.
They feel that hits the spot. That's what I wanted.
Something, a little something sweet for daddy.
Something for daddy.
They're all perverts, yes? Yeah, they're perverts.
There were several points in this episode where the dialogue really felt like a Tim Robinson sketch to me. A few specific things, which I think we will get to in the course of the exploration.
Quite rude to the metal detecting community, because this guy is portrayed as a real piece of work. He finds that he detects a second bit of metal that's like a sort of like cross chain, and it's, who would have guessed, it's attached to the neck of some bones. He takes the chain, he like pulls it off and fucking gets out of there.
Well, because initially he has the cross, and then he pulls on it, and there's the chain going down the sand. And then he pulls
and
it
he
a
goes,
bit hard.
Ooh, yeah.
He goes, "Ooh," and then the corpse comes out and makes a stink, and he goes, "Oh no!" And you think that's gonna be where they go, "All right, now he's on the horn to the Bone Squad," but instead he pauses and takes another really good tug at the necklace coming off this desiccated corpse.
Yeah, it's like, "Hey, I'm not gonna leave something sweet down there." He's the metal pervert, basically.
The boys down at the metal bar are gonna love this one.
You know what we say, metal finders, metal keepers.
He's an awful little goblin. He's an awful little goblin, and he's my favorite character on all of season 6 of the show.
If I'm detecting it, I'm collecting it. Just like grabbing anything you can.
Oh yeah, of course.
But then, so he has found a real sloppy corpse, to be fair.
He's found a body, yeah, for real. I gotta tell you, the body effects in the series, they always put their pussy into the body.
Yeah. They put it all out on this one, because we've got they make a point of saying, to help drive the plot for the next 2 minutes that they remember about it. They make a point of saying, the conditions here on the beach are making the body compose extra fast, so we've got to move.
Yeah,
and then the 24 counter comes up in the corner. Bing, bing, bing. But then, it doesn't really seem to matter much at all after that point.
Yeah,
you know, there's. I guess they get him down there, and then as they're at the beach, they say, "We better hurry up." And as they say that, all of the flesh starts peeling away from this skull, like petals of a flower opening up.
Melting.
Good work. Good work from the practical effects crew. You couldn't do that with AI, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, this is, so far, I got to be honest with you two, I'm watching this episode of Bones, and my thumbs are pretty up, you know, at this stage.
For now? Absolutely.
Yeah. For now, my thumbs are up.
Got a real sloppy body full of worms.
We get to... We get Booth and Hannah in bed, and I don't know what this is. Something I noted last time. Americans have these fucking thin sheets. He's like unbelievably thin little duvet.
Although they don't use duvets at all, they use a sheet and like a comforter. Duvets came later.
Sickening to me.
Look, it's entirely possible they've blasted the quilt or doona straight off the bed with their passionate lovemaking.
It's possible. Oh, yeah. It's possible. I don't know. It's just like a single sheet of paper on top of these guys.
But you do make an excellent point, which is actually we don't get straight from the corpse to the beach. We get from the corpse to Hannah and Booth rolling over and going, "Oh, we just got done fucking again because we love it so much." But they've fallen back in a
strange setup,
a very inexplicable position where they fall back from out of frame, and then we've got Booth on his back. And Hannah is on her back on top of Booth. So maybe let's break it down. Let's do some forensic anthropology here. They could have been in full doggy, right? He gets a leg cramp while he's coming, latches onto her, rolls all the way over onto his back like a turtle when he's done.
But wait, the leg cramp would then in the journey. Andrew, the leg cramp in the journey from the coitus back to the lying down position would have alleviated. The recline position would have alleviated, which I think is highly unlikely.
Yeah, if he's
if we're doing forensic anthropology, I'm Bones.
Yeah, if you are cramped up and you fall backwards, you're sandwiching that leg up, and the cramp's only getting worse.
Definitely.
You know, really, really, he'd be making a series of noises. Mm-hmm. Not really explaining what's happening as he leaps out of the bed to straighten out his leg.
I think they were sitting up. The only thing I could explain, the only way to explain the way that they hit the bed is they were
standing up on the bed.
They were jumping on the bed.
They weren't having sex at all. They were just enjoying a little bit of ruckus. Good for them.
Yeah. They were doing some horseplay, like actual horseplay.
God, I love 7 a.m. bedtime. I love jumping on the bed at 7 a.m., says Booth. Then there's I feel like for this season, we're going to have to start getting like an Afghanistan count on these episodes. Because again, we are less than 2 minutes into an episode when Afghanistan is referenced again. When Hannah says, "Oh, we're louder in the States, aren't we?"
She does,
And he says, "Well, there's no bombs to drown out the noise like in Afghanistan."
Again, are you fucking in? I suppose they are fucking in the war zone because they went outside the base to the fig tree, and then fucked under the fig tree.
To be fair, they are both residing in the green zone. They just go out there to make it hotter.
Yeah,
the risky behavior really makes the sex pop.
That's what they were doing is they were jumping on the bed to try to simulate that thrill.
Bang, bang,
they can only come when they're in mortal danger. By the way, I did a quick bones count. 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
12 bones count.
12 bones? Okay. 12 bones.
Little upward
pretty
trajectory.
Uh-huh.
How many Afghanistans have we got in this episode?
Just one. Just one outright mention of Afghanistan. Yeah. Some allusions, but only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's
the very beginning. They just talk about being back stateside, right?
Yeah.
They don't say Afghanistan specifically. It does come up again later, though. I came back from Afghanistan to be with you, I'm pretty sure Hannah says.
Yes, she does. Yeah. She says it to Brennan about Booth.
I came back from
Afghanistan to be with him.
Ladies, you know it's serious when you come back from Afghanistan to be with him.
Cosmo quiz.
Yeah.
Signs you might be in a serious relationship and not just a situationship. One of you returns from Afghanistan.
Yeah, choose. You have returned from Afghanistan.
The other thing that about their that ends their lovemaking session or their bed jumping session is she's like, I have to go be an important war correspondent at the White House. Only five of us were invited, so maybe I'll get a chance to ask some real questions. It's like, hey, are we still in Afghanistan? Yup, sure are. How long are we going to be there? A while. Thank you.
I've been over there, and get this. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Is anyone aware of how horny it is? Is anyone aware of how horny it is over there? It's pretty horny.
I went over there and I've never been so happy or sexually satisfied.
Can I go back?
End the war today.
Can I go back really quick? Don't end it.
In Afghanistan.
So when are you sending us all back into Afghanistan?
Let's get America fucking.
This year, I think.
So So then they leave, and then now we get back to the Jeffersonian. They see the corpse, and it continues to rapidly decompose because, again, the practical effects.
It's going gooey.
They're like the Simpsons Halloween special. They always do like really good animation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like they really put everything into the animation.
Pull it out, yeah.
Yeah, this one, I think they were like, you know what? This is our Halloween special. We're going to really try with the body.
I think the only special effects they've ever got to put any effort into are the bodies and getting a stunt guy to tackle someone else on a lawn. You know? That kind of covers most of it. You could speed up the footage of a Toyota driving to imply peril.
We see that. And then we're onto the theme song pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
The Crystal Method, they come quickly.
Just like Hannah and Booth at 7 a.m., you know?
After jumping on the bed. But you know what else we see after the theme song? Justin Long is back for some reason.
That's not Justin Long.
I'm sorry, Justin. Wait, who is that?
What is his name? It's the guy who plays...
It's not Justin Long. It's someone.
It's the guy from Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
He plays the objectionable video game guy. Joel David Moore.
That's the motherfucker.
Joel David Moore.
He's in there Avatar, I'm pretty sure.
He is. Well, he comes into the series because of the Avatar episode of Bones. And then someone just sticks around.
Oh, from such Joel classic entertainments as Grandma's Boy, Dodgeball, Avatar, and...
Colin
the Hottie and the Naughty, the Paris Hilton movie from 2008.
God, oh, I mean, wow. What a thing to be like, yes, I'm in the Paris Hilton movie
Fire and Ash this year.
And the Jersey Shore episode of But we got to get to the Jersey Shore. We got to get to the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so it's Joel David Moore, his character's bit is, because every character's got to have a bit. Which is very nice. I like that they have a Rolodex of different interns with different like things that they pick from, and they're planning an episode of Bones. This
Horny,
guy's thing is
mental.
That he's suicidal, but he's not like actually going to do it. Mm. He's just going to talk about it a lot.
He's suicidal recreationally.
He's like, wouldn't it be nice to die someday?
Oh, look out! I'm not actually going to do it.
He's saying something like this. He just got back off of the psych ward, and he's like, this is his first day back at work today.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hart Hansen writing this character in after his fifth consecutive season of being rejected romantically by this coworker.
Oh, he might
Maybe
kill
it feel great to die, Cheryl.
We are not exaggerating. Every single scene... He'll like look at the corpse and be like, "Oh, you're so lucky to be dead."
He says this to the skull at some point. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He
talks to the skull like Hamlet.
All of his dialogue is split like 50-50 in this episode between him starting the episode with my brain doctor told me that I have to be really positive about everything, look on the bright side, and then in the second half he's like, "I'm sad now," so he yawns constantly. Because he used to sleep a lot when he was depressed.
What is that?
Yeah,
what's up with
I guess
that?
We need an audio cue for this guy's getting more depressed. So he's just getting sleepier.
He explains to a character midway through the episode that he slept 22 hours a day when he was deeply depressed.
Is that part of it?
He makes sure to say, he's like, I wasn't ever suicidal. I just slept for like 22 hours a day, which, hey, fair enough. So later on when he's like fucking up and not finding enough clues from the bones, he's like yawning so as to be like, he's getting depressed. Look out.
Look at this guy might do it. The more he doesn't find
go to sleep.
Honestly, it's unsustainable to try to hold yourself to the standard of Dr. Temperance Bones Brennan.
Oh, yeah, there's no
way. You might as well seek to enter heaven and kill God, you know? it's really a mug's game.
So basically, this also starts after the theme song with a, they're watching like a video online of Richie the V, who is Hell their yeah. victim. I don't know how they identify their victim as Richie the V, but they have
he had his wallet. Victim. He had his wallet.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
That's another nice way in which I reckon in the first 120 seconds of the show. I'm blacking out on Booth fucking. In the first couple of minutes of the show, they so quickly get to, and here's the corpse, and it's rotting. There's a bunch of worms in it, and also we already know who he is and what his deal was. So like.
Yeah.
They instantly eliminate. Yeah. They just like cross out a whole section of the teleplay where they would have had to figure out who the victim is to get them to the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And they were correct to do it. They were correct to say, hey, you know what? Cut all that shit out. Get us to the Jersey Shore stat. That is the whole thing we're doing this episode.
Yeah.
I'm completely with them. Cut the shit.
Yeah. It's like, you know what our audience wants to see? They want to see Bones and Booth interact with a bunch of meatheads.
Absolutely.
And it's right. That's completely 100% right. Yeah. You fucking got it, Bones. Bones team.
They identify Paulie the V, Frankie the V. Which one was it?
Richie the V.
It's Lil Frankie as his like ally.
Yeah.
Lil Frankie and Richie the V have allied against Pepe. They hated Pepe.
Richie the V is so named due to his inverted triangle body shape. He's been working on his lats, and he is now known for his V-shaped torso. I think he makes workout videos. On that workout video, they were playing the 1982 song Do You Wanna Funk by Sylvester, which is a fucking...
Well, do you?
Do you? Great
song. We're waiting.
Go and check it out. It's that real Italo disco, high energy kind of stuff from the early 80s.
Oh, yes.
Throw it on and you... Like, I tell you what, if it's the morning when you're listening to this, when you're done, put on Do You Wanna Funk by Sylvester. Let us know if it brightens your morning at all. And I think it will. So they're like, let's get to the fucking Jersey Shore now. Bones immediately says, hey... I've seen a documentary about these guys because I can't tell the difference between a TV show and real life.
Yeah. They're so smart.
The seed of a good bit here with regards to Bones, which is that she's anthropologically interested in the Jersey Shore guys. That she's been watching, I don't know, whatever the Jersey Shore TV show is called. Is it just called Jersey Shore?
It's the only way it's Jersey Shore. It's just called Jersey Shore.
and has been like taking notes. Just like excited to get to it.
She does keep calling them the Guido tribe.
Keeps calling them a tribe, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they overcook it a little. I'm totally with you. She's I think the best comedic instinct of the episode is she is approaching it anthropologically. They do not have the caliber of writer to carry that idea off.
No, there is a bit later on where she's like in the club and she's like, look, the female is displaying that she's sexually available for mating.
Starts doing David like Attenborough on Italian Americans. Yeah,
it's almost something funny in there. It's like, it's fucking, you can nearly see like a good bit if you squint.
Yeah. another thing that really dated this for me, I think, besides we're doing an episode about the Jersey Shore, was that she says, who was the other guy? Lil who?
Lil Frankie.
Lil Frankie.
Lil Frankie.
And Booth says, oh, Little Frankie. And she says, no. Lil, like Lil John. And I thought, shut me back to 2010.
I have it right Lil here. Lil Frankie, wait, how did you know? Says Booth. Brennan, oh, he's featured in the Guido video Angela found.
She's saying Guido a lot, yeah.
Ah, well, the victim's mother fingered Lil Frankie. Brennan walking away from her office to the platform. Lil Frankie, like Lil Red Riding Hood, Lil Abner, Lil John, whatever. Okay, you know what? We should be in the Jersey Shore, okay? I can come pick you up. Brennan, okay, excellent. I can compare field experience to the documentary series. Then they have a classic Toyota heart-to-heart. They love their Toyota. And the thing is, I know a little bit about season 6. I researched it a bit. It's only to get more Toyota from here.
Yeah.
Each episode is the least Toyota it will get.
There's a really good Toyota moment later on this season.
Even in this episode, as they say, all right, we got to get from the fucking, from the beach down to the shore. And they jump in the car and they immediately drive their Toyota directly towards the camera. It's a good long Toyota shot there. They have determined from looking at this body that the victim's spine was driven up through the bottom of their skull into their brain, leading me to understand that they have had a Looney Tunes anvil dropped onto their head. They've got a Wile E. Coyote situation. Yeah,
it's near 100% chance that the victim had like little birds going around his head for a couple of seconds.
Yep.
Perimortem.
Looked like he had piano key teeth. The thick fuck.
Oh my god!
Seen it a thousand times.
Yeah.
So Bones is very excited.
He was a cartoon. You sick bastard.
Bones is very excited. Bones. Hitting the sup to everyone. She like fully like
that got a laugh
pulls
out of me.
Frankie in for like a big a hug. It's funny. It's good stuff.
Sup, oh
yeah.
Sup.
Temper's burning. Sup.
I will also give the episode credit for having the average Guido's reaction be to simply accept her as she is approaching them on their level. What they could have done was have all of them go, What's this lady talking like us for? But they go, understand my
Where's
way.
Your
like,
fake tan? Right. And where's your fake tan? And how come I'm not grinding up on you right now? Something like that. No, they're right. They're right there with her.
Yep. They're like, oh, she doesn't even need a translator. You know, she's right in here with us. Jane Goodall of the situations. So they've established who this guy is. They've found videos of him online. This has done a lot of the identity problem solving for them, done pretty quick and easy, which means that they can get to the Jersey Shore and meet some of their social crew. Bones hitting everybody with the aforementioned sups.
Pretty good.
Little shoulder bumps.
It's like a multi-level house party going on.
People getting thrown off the roof into a pool below.
Classic meathead activity. Mm-hmm. Classic meathead activity.
Yep.
And they're like, well, he of course could have just been dropped onto the pavement. Case closed. Which, to be honest, is more likely that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
It's a better explanation of what it ends up being.
We need it to be slightly more complicated. And of course, absolutely classic Bones / bad procedural move of writing the entire episode, then getting the end and going, this guy.
Yeah, this guy did it.
This guy was like, not really a motive, you know?
I loved his motive.
This is one of my favorites. This guy, whatever. fucking good.
Look, they establish earlier in the episode, so we go to Club Elegante.
Mm-hmm. Which bouncer is named Terror.
Yep.
Bouncer's name Terror,
It is exactly as Elegante as it sounds. They have a chat to some different people. They're looking for this guy.
This is also where it becomes very clear to me that the writers of Bones are all 95 years old and have not set foot outside except to rip things from the headlines in a decade.
I go outside, I rip my things from the headlines, and I come straight back in the house.
Yeah, this is great.
I go down to the news agent. I tear the headlines off. I don't pay for the whole paper. I don't need it. I just need the headlines.
Headlines.
The news agent
only
yells at me, and then I go back home and I shut the door and I bolt the latch. You know,
never talk to me. Never expose me to anything. And I'm going to write about what I assume a club is, and I'm clearly very frightened of what I imagine a club to be.
I think
but we also get go ahead, please.
Oh, the part that is most perplexing to me, we've got it at like the Jersey Shore thing at a really high level. They're like, we've got trashy looking women. Some of them are kind of scrapping with each other here and there. We got a bunch of trashy looking guys. There's people dancing together, you know, all that kind of jazz. And then we have a guy whose deal is that he's getting behind the counter and stealing the ice.
Yeah,
this is a popular issue at nightclubs.
he's like stealing the ice, and the ice guy like vaults over the bar to come after him, and is like, this motherfucker thinks ice is free. I got to account for it. It's like a real, like, these tables are my life situation.
Oh, this is exactly the scene. This is the scene that I was saying made me think of, I think you should leave. Here's the direct quote. These guys think ice is free, and it's not. They never let me do my job. I have to account for every cube. No, you don't.
To which Peppy responds, ice is frozen water, yo. Water is free. Do the math, dipstick. Perfect. Just phenomenal.
What is your ice situation? Like,
this guy keeps stealing my ice.
As a writer of Bones, and look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't run a venue or anything.
Could be.
But I don't think the situation works in a way where, say, every time you take a scoop of ice out of your big bucket of ice on the bottom of the bar and put it into a drink, that like a dollar counter goes down on your take for the evening. And then at the end of the night, your boss comes around and checks that you have leveled out your ice bucket.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a receipt on that ice bucket.
Account for every cube?
Checking the receipts. Your 8 cubes short.
Turn out your pockets. You got ice. You got ice on you right now.
Oh, nothing but water. All right, get out of here.
So you got to start charging more for this ice. We lost people on this expedition.
This guy is so focused on his ice.
I love the ice guy. The ice guy is my favorite guy. Yeah, there's a bit earlier on with little Frankie where he explains that Peppy, the ice stealing bloke, and our victim, Richie, the gum gutters, had been wearing the same shirt.
I would have liked
if
they had the video be Richie the cum gutters.
That's what I thought the V was. I didn't realize they were talking about his like entire physique taken as an aggregate. Yeah. I thought it was just pure cum gutter.
Pure cum gutters. This guy's a lowercase V. Oh, sorry. That just really tickled me.
No, it's not for
us. Continue.
This guy, yeah, he's wearing the same shirt as Peppy. What do we get out of Peppy? Oh, we find out that Frankie had a stalker. Out that Richie had a stalker.
Richie the V had a stalker.
Richie Someone the V had a stalker.
Who wouldn't leave him alone, you know?
I will say with regards to little Frankie, he reacts how I would want my homie to react when he finds out that Richie is dead.
Yeah.
Like he fully drops to his knees and lets out like a proper no.
An anguish.
Richie's
cry.
Dead. Richie the V, he's gone. This is at the house party and like the screams of no, Richie extend throughout the whole house. Like it goes out like a wave.
Oh man. I'm getting little Frankie mixed up with the guy that they go to look for at the club.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's the ice thief. He's the ice thief. The next guy they go to look for. Not. I don't want to put that on little Frankie.
Little Frankie doesn't deserve that. No.
But yeah, I don't want to put it all on little Frankie. So they do go after this other guy. They establish that he is a hijinks ice thief from I Think You Should Leave.
Yes. Yeah. He takes the ice.
He's really upsetting the manager from I Think You Should Leave.
I'm the boss of the ice, and I say, stop taking my freaking ice.
Every week I ask them, and they take all my ice.
Like, just put that in the mouth of Tim Robinson.
Yes.
Insane dialogue. That's what you were saying.
Insane dialogue.
Listener, I just went to the bathroom and came back. Yeah, it is.
Welcome back.
Awesome. And the funny thing is, I think we can spoil it a little bit because we're at 54 minutes. Oh, we gotta play this noise. We're long overdue for the noise. Oh, there we go. There's that noise.
Oh, that's better.
What I love is like fucking he's complaining about the ice.
Ice is free.
We said, yeah, ice is free. It's just water. How come you're so mad about water? It's my ice. And like, remember how we said that the murder is done on the most baffling pretext, which is essentially that the ice prankster and Richie the V
wore the same t-shirt and they all look alike. And this guy was like, I am going to murder the man who messes with my ice deliveries. And he does, but he murders the wrong man.
What is the wrong man?
That's the murder. It's the man who's upset about the ice. The ice man.
We have a single, I think they talked to two people. They talked to, these two other guys who say, hey, why would I ever do that to Richie the V? He was my boy.
They talked to Terra, who has a fun reason that it wasn't him. He was like, I was seeing Billy Elliot.
Is he seeing Billy Elliot? Yeah.
Yeah. We Guidos have hearts too.
What does his friend say when Booth is like, Booth's in the club and he's saying to this guy, we do have to mention that Terra, the doorman, gets up in Booth's face and says, you better leave or I'm going to kick the shit out of you. And Booth goes, oh, he's like big man with a badge and a gun. And Booth does the classic, I am removing my sports coat, badge and gun, and I will fist fight you here in this venue, which I don't think you can do as a government employee. I am almost certain.
You're really not supposed to.
Like you're still on a work shift. I don't like taking the badge off doesn't pause the work shift. You are going to get in trouble. Yeah. But the dude doesn't.
You can't be like,
go,
hey, I'm officially on a smoke break from being an FBI agent. Take your best shot. Mm.
But this guy immediately looks at Booth and goes, oh, nuts.
It's like, fine.
This guy's too jacked for me. David Boreanaz, the ultimate man's man. So they talk to those guys. Those guys say, no, he was my homie. Booth implies that this guy doesn't seem particularly sad, to which he says, what does he say? He says, oh, I gotta keep on? Or...
He's like, I gotta keep on for Richie.
I gotta keep on for Richie. That's what he'd want. Richie would want me to
keep
all of
us to keep taking steroids.
Just wants me to keep partying, you know? Mm. They then talk to the stalker girl who's like, he wasn't no meathead or no knucklehead.
Yeah, this is we got to establish that Richie's like, he's like a good guy, you know?
He's a good guy.
He's an anti-steroids warrior.
He got his friend off steroids.
Yeah.
He's fully natty. He's a gentleman. You know, he would never prank the Iceman is the big thing. Never.
Never prank
the
Iceman.
He would never do that. He's an absolute saint.
The other thing that has taken place.
Steal the ice.
The other thing that's taken place over at the Jeffersonian throughout this is that they have done the detective work to figure out that the man was bonked upon the head with a hard pole made of concrete, and also that the concrete has some plastic around the outside of it, which really, when you think about it, is going to be a pretty distinctive object when you run into it.
Yep, which is, of course, the bat the Iceman uses to break up the ice he's delivering.
And in classic Bones fashion, they have left the venue and are just strolling around the corner chatting.
They've run out of like possible suspects. They're like, okay, well, I guess we've got to declare this crime unsolved and get on with our lives. And then,
hey, remember, the suspects of crimes always in the last place you look, you know? Mm. So maybe don't stress about it. It'll turn up. And then you leave and you walk past a guy and you go, hey, you're bashing that ice. A big concrete-filled pole with plastic on the outside. Must have been you, son of a bitch. Which is also what, like, Booth says to every character he meets.
You do get a confession, obviously, because he's the killer, so he confesses instantly. But, like, they really do just walk up to this guy and, like, tell him that he did the murder. And then start arresting him.
Yeah, and he goes, oh no. And he says, quote, I'm just trying to make a living. Every delivery, they take my ice.
They're taking my fucking ice.
They took my ice, and then I did a classic murder. One blood for water.
I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I do have to just roll back slightly to focus on the only scene Sweets has in the episode.
Every
which
delivery,
is where they get
they
him,
screw with me.
They get him to psychologically analyze the texts that Guidos have been sending to each other.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
And we get to see the 2010 Guido text speak translated for us. And the one that really made me laugh very loud when they put it up on screen was, I guess I'll try and give it to you, listener, in the most accurate form. All capitals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Letter U, letter R, space, G-N-G, space, number two, space, D-I, end.
You are Gangnam today. They prefaced Gangnam Style.
That's crazy.
It's the most, like, how do you get, like, text speak that wrong? In 2010, so too. Great. Like, yeah, it's some sort of opposite of, you know the normal thing we're used to seeing, which is actual abbreviations people use, but somebody has attributed an incorrect translation to it. This is the opposite of that, where they've taken something and made mangled text abbreviation for it. No one has ever sent a message saying this in their lives. Maybe Prince.
You are going really good. Really good.
Just like, just the D-I as well. No, I don't have time to put an E on that word.
He's got to know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll get it. He'll
I'm going to... What,
he'll
Princess... Are you threatening me like Princess Di? Am I going to die in a car accident with paparazzi?
So, really, a very classic Bones episode in that they are pretty much given the corpse and the identity and the location and his name and all of his friends right at the start of the episode. And then at the end of the episode, they're just kind of walking past the guy who did it. And they go, hey, you're holding that murder weapon.
Oh, shit. It was you.
Hey, come on. And he goes,
all right,
hey,
come on, get in the car.
Hey, you know what? It was me.
And he's like, it was totally me. I did it and I don't regret it.
Here's the thing. I was upset about my ice.
Line. This is the ice guy about the Guidos. He goes, this, the ice guy is African-American.
Yeah,
he
says of the Guidos, I noted this too.
I guess they all look the same to me.
I what had are we also, doing? This is the only black guy in the episode who, only black person in the episode who is not in the core cast saying, they all look like to me. I'm like, don't do that.
Why did you make him say that? Handsome.
That's awesome.
They've made several references at this point to Guidos all looking the same when they're out the front of the nightclub and they say, have you seen this guy with his photo? And the doorman points to like three different dudes and goes, oh, they all look exactly the fucking same.
Yeah, they do this again with the women. They're just like, oh, what woman? Oh, she had tan skin and dark big hair.
Big
and it's
hair.
Like, oh, they all look the same to us.
So we've wrapped up the murder. The Iceman has verily, verily helpfully immediately said, I agree, I killed him.
I definitely did kill him, yeah.
Yep. And so that just leaves us to wrap up the personal life plot line. Booth comes
Hannah's
home.
Moving in with Booth.
Hannah is moving in with Booth. There's been a little bit of inconsequential commentary about it during the episode. But the line that really caught my ear from this scene was, so everybody's there. A couple of people now know that Angela is pregnant with Hodge's baby. Hodgkin's baby.
Yeah, like everyone figures it out.
Hodgins.
So
everybody's kind of twigging onto that. Everybody leaves except for Bones and Hannah and Booth, and there's a gift, a moving in gift on the side table for Booth, and it's a kind of old-timey rotary phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks to me like it's of an older kind of vintage than say it looks like it's older than the 80s, you know?
Like a
pre-70s kind of rotary phone. It's got a red bow stuck to it, and Hannah says, Bones told me you like phones.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, a phone. And he picks it up and he goes, oh, it works. It's a real one, he says. It's a real one.
It's a real one.
And she's like, yeah, I got told you like phones. I didn't know this about his character.
This is a thing about his character. It never comes up again, obviously. But this is really bad advice from Brennan, to be honest with you, because Hannah's like, I want to buy something for Booth. What is he like? and Bones is like, oh, he's been looking for the right, like, old style rotary phone, like a nice Bakelite thing. He's been trying to find the right one for years. That's bad advice. Don't try to buy him a phone. If I've been looking for years for my, like, special phone, you think some day one fucker is going to walk in and just get me the right one?
You Google phone.
I'm gonna be like, oh, thanks. Yeah, it's the entry-level phone that I've already dismissed like, out of hand.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, it's the one that I've investigated. It's like it's the page one of Google. Uh-huh. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, that one.
Oh, I've been looking for a phone to put in the downstairs toilet. Yeah, thanks.
I've been looking for garbage to throw in the dump. I hate it. Oh, my. And the final line of the episode, of course, is Booth saying thank you, and both Hannah and Bones saying you're welcome.
Oh.
It's going to keep going for a couple more episodes, but not that many.
No. I have to say, this has been the Boney and the Whitefish. Thank you very much. Thank you to Devin for doubling up.
Hey, no worries.
Thank you, Devin.
Always a pleasure to be here. KillJamesBond.com.
Yeah, that's right. KillJamesBond.com all day. And we will see you in 1 week for episode 4 of Boney Island Whitefish. Goodbye, everyone.
Hell yeah.
Bye.
Bye.